Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we again follow the order of service in the bulletin. Our opening hymn today is 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, hymn 611.
To heal the wounded heart, he
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
For our psalm today, we read Psalm number 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore plead for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name instead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 547, The Lamb.
Thank you.
I invite you to please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Here ends our reading of the Word of God. You may be seated. I ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon us as we consider the teaching of your word this day. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding and strengthen our faith in Jesus as your Son and our Savior. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about our evangelism program here at the church. How do we evangelize the world? What is it that we are to do? And in our lesson today, we find a beautiful example of evangelism, an example that indeed we should follow. We see, first of all, again the next day, and this, of course, follows what we had looked at last Sunday in John chapter 1, where in verse 29, we read that John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he testifies that, you know, it had been revealed to him that the one on whom he saw the Spirit of God descending and remained, this is the Son of God. So he testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the next day, John is standing with two of his disciples, and he sees Jesus walking, and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God. And so he directs them to look to Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. Now, what does this mean? Well, we think back, as I mentioned last time, to Genesis chapter 22, rather, where Abraham is directed in this chapter after he had waited more than 25 years for a son of promise, and God finally gives him this son of promise, Isaac, and Isaac is now a young lad. And we read that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. As we read on, of course, they come to the place, and Abraham takes his son Isaac and ties him, and he puts the wood on the altar, and then he lays Isaac on the altar, and he lifts up the knife to kill his son before he offers his son as a burnt offering to the Lord. And at that point, the angel of the Lord speaks to him and calls him and tells him not to slay his son. And so He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, for me. And then we read these words. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead or in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In other words, God will provide the sacrifice. We just sang a hymn which in the opening verse said, included the words of Isaac to his father, O Father, where's the sacrifice? And it explains faith sees, believes, God will provide the lamb price. And as God provided a substitute sacrifice for Isaac, so God has provided a substitute sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb promised since Adam and Eve fell into sin, the one who would redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This, of course, also is reflected in the Exodus account, where God in Exodus chapter 12 directed the people of Israel to set aside a lamb without blemish and without spot, and on the 14th day to kill that lamb and take its blood and put it upon the doorposts and the lintels of their homes, in order that the angel of death who would carry out God's judgment against the Egyptians would see the blood and would pass over their homes. The lamb had been killed and sacrificed so that the firstborn among the children of Israel would not have to die, would not have to be judged by the Lord God when he passed over through the angel of death. It's reflected in the sacrifices which the people of Israel continued to offer in the tabernacle and then in the temple. In Leviticus chapter 1, I'll just read the opening verses. Says, And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And a few verses later, it says, you know, if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And then it tells how he would kill it and how it would be sacrificed. And so the picture here of the Lamb of God is the Lamb who is offered to make atonement for our sins, the Lamb upon which the person offering it would lay his hand, indicating that his sin and his guilt was laid upon the Lamb. And the Lamb died in his place. And so our sin and our guilt is laid upon Jesus. And he died in our place to make atonement for our sins. Isaiah 53 describes that in verse 6, in words that I think we all probably know and remember because we've heard them so many times. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so God laid our sins upon his own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think it's striking when you follow through the Bible history that the very place in the mountains of Moriah where Abraham was to offer up his son Isaac and God provided a substitute, that later on this mountain is the place that is used for a sacrifice to stop the plague that God had sent because of David's sin in numbering the people. And that's where the temple was built. This is also the place, or at least close by, where Jesus himself was offered up as a substitute sacrifice for our sin. And so John points his disciples to Jesus and says, "Behold, see the Lamb of God." It says, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to be interpreted master, or today we would say teacher. You know, we always speak of the schoolmaster was a school teacher. Master meant the one who had learned something, and now he's teaching it to the students. They say to him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted teacher, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, so about 10 in the morning. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. As I told you in Bible class this morning, Messiah is the Hebrew, comes from the Hebrew word, which means anointed, and Christ is the Greek word, which means anointed, meaning that this is the one anointed by God, chosen by God to be the one who saves his people from their sins. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man, their Savior. But notice that Andrew first finds his brother Simon and says, you know, he doesn't give a lot of details here. You know, we found the Messiah. We found the promised one. We have found the Savior. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, or Jesus saw him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And his name, you know, we know him as Cephas, as Simon. And the word Peter is Petros, which is a stone. So Peter is from the Greek name for a stone. Your Bible translations, if you're using other than the King James or the New King James, it may say son of John, because a few of the earlier manuscripts use son of Johann rather than Bar Jonah or Ben Jonah, son of Jonah. But the majority of manuscripts, which the King James is based on, uses Jonah. Surprisingly, then later on in the life and ministry of Jesus, when it comes to Matthew chapter 16, then they all agree that it is son of Jonah. But then again, in John 21, some of these old manuscripts, a few of them used John. And so you'll have John instead of Simon, son of Jonah, you'll have Simon, son of John. The names are very close, but the Hebrew meanings of the names are a little bit different. I believe John indicates that Jehovah is gracious, and Jonah is a word for dove in the Hebrew. So anyway, here we see the first part of our mission plan. When we find the Messiah, we don't necessarily know everything about him, but we tell people to come, we have found the Messiah. We point them to Jesus, like John did. You know, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He pointed them to Jesus. And now his disciples are bringing others to Jesus. that they might learn the truth. Notice it wasn't bringing him to some church or to something to learn that particular denomination's doctrine. It was bringing them to Jesus, that they might trust in him for forgiveness and life. Then it says the day following. So now we're another day later. Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip. Notice he particularly searched out Philip and found him, and saith unto him, follow me. And so he calls Philip to follow him as a disciple. And we know that Philip is one of the disciples of Jesus, as are, you know, Simon Peter and Andrew, and even Nathaniel here is another name. I forget whether it's Bartholomew, has a different name, but it's probably one of the 12. So he finds Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So this is where all three of these lived. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so Philip, again, his evangelism work is finding Nathanael and saying, you know, we found him who is the Messiah. We found the promised one. He's the one that Moses and the law and all the prophets wrote about. And he says, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And at that point, Nathanael probably thought, uh-oh, there's a problem here. And he asked that problem. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because what prophecy in the Old Testament says that Jesus, the Messiah, would come from Nazareth? Not a one. It does say that Jesus would be a root out of dry ground, that he would, you know, not be recognized as the Messiah and Savior. That certainly is fitting with being born or coming from Nazareth. Nazareth was in Galilee, and the Bible speaks about the Messiah being in Galilee, but he is to be born in Bethlehem. And so Nathanael was not expecting the Messiah to be coming out of Nazareth. But notice Philip's answer. So Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Did Philip have all the answers? Could he explain how it is that Jesus was from Nazareth when the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem? Didn't have all the answers yet, but he just said, come and see. And so also when we bear witness to people, we may not have every answer to every objection, every question, but we can call them to come and see, to come and learn of Jesus and find out what it is that he says and teaches. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And then whenever I read the word guile, I always thought of bile, which is entirely different. Bile being a substance produced by your liver, and guile meaning deceit. So what does this mean? What does it mean when Jesus says of Nathanael that he's an Israelite indeed, meaning he's a true Israelite, which would indicate that there are Israelites who are not truly Israelites? In other words, among the people of Israel, there are true believers and there are people who are not true believers and really not truly descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob according to the faith. They may be physical descendants, but not spiritual. And I think the best explanation to that is in Psalm 32, which is a psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. In our study of 1 John in chapter 1, we saw that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. which would mean that we are full of guile, that we are self-deceived. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's exactly what David says here. You know, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, he does not hide and cover up his sins. And then David explains, when I kept silence, my bones waxed or grew old through my roaring all the day long, his groaning all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture, his vitality, is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And to be an Israelite indeed, a true Israelite in whom is no guile, means that Nathanael knew the truth about himself. Nathanael knew he was a sinner, and he acknowledged and confessed his sins to the Lord, and he received God's mercy and forgiveness because he had faith in God's promise to send a Messiah who would redeem him and pay the price for his sins. Nathanael answered and said to him, whence knowest thou me? From where do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And so Jesus apparently saw Nathanael. Under the fig tree could simply mean that he was meditating under a fig tree, and it could indicate that, you know, some say it actually indicates a, you know, he was a student of the scriptures and in prayer to the Lord God. I don't know that there's any reason to go beyond simply the obvious that Jesus saw him, even when he was under the fig tree, apparently at his own home. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And so he acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the King of Israel, because that's what the Messiah was to be. He was to be God the Son, who had come as a descendant of David and redeem Israel. So Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, often translated truly, truly, or most certainly, that what it is in the Greek is amen, amen, from which we get the word amen, which means something is certainly true. Amen, amen, or truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you. And whenever you see those words, it's something that is emphasized, and we should pay close attention to it. Hereafter, ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Of course, the imagery here takes us back to Jacob and the dream when he was on his way to Laban, where he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon a ladder or a stair steps up to heaven with God on his throne. And what it indicates here is Jesus being glorified, appearing in glory, that he would see this, which we also we'll see if we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that the day is going to come when we see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We will see him in his glory. And so what is the point of all this? We may not have theological degrees. We may have learned more reading our Bible truck driving than from going to seminary. We may not be able to answer every question, every objection. Well, what is our evangelism program? It's quite simple. John the Baptist did it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Philip Andrew, come and see. We found the Messiah. We found the Savior. We found the one that God promised from the very beginning. Couldn't answer every objection, every question, but come and see. And when they came and saw, they believed. And actually, it's really kind of that way for each and every one of us, because we may have been directed to come to church, and we may have been told what we should believe and what we should not believe. It's really not until we have read and studied in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has convinced us that this is really true. This is what God has done for us. He has given his son. And so we actually come to Jesus and we see that the things that we were taught were true, and we trust in him as God's son and our Savior. And I think all of you can probably relate to the fact that, you know, we may have been told many times, you know, that Jesus died for us and rose again. But sometimes the reality doesn't really sink in until we sit at Jesus' feet and read his word, what he actually did for us. That he took the punishment for all our sins, that he was sacrificed there on the cross and paid the price so that we could look to him in faith, to the substitute ram that God provided, that Lamb of God, and receive God's mercy and forgiveness and the everlasting joys of heaven. And so the only way anyone can believe is to come to Jesus and hear his word. And through the word, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts faith to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he paid the price for our sins and is risen again and glorified, and that through faith in his name, we have forgiveness and life. God grant that we believe, and also that we point people to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for graciously reaching out to us with your word and bringing us to know and to trust in Jesus as our Savior. We pray that you would also enable us to tell our friends, our neighbors, our children, our family members, come to Jesus, come and see, hear his word and learn of him, that they too might hear and believe. We pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our word, our worship, rather, by bringing forward our offerings.
I ask you to please stand for our prayers.
Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness or under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs, to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today John and Karen, Linda and John, Joyce, Carl, Richard, Harley and Donna, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 621. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Its standard on the way. as the darkness clears away. At his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry. I ask you to please stand. Again, I read the words of institution from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Again, I invite you to come forward. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. And may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. We close by singing Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings